Hello, and welcome to our program, the National Geographic Society, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Jim Cruz, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the National Geographic magazine and website here on OWL Radio. Our first article is about the elephants. Secrets of the elephants. They're all in trouble, says Kenyan ecologist Paula Kahumbu. All elephants are in major trouble. Populations of the three species have declined. Savannah elephants, the largest land animals on the planet, trundling across sub-Saharan Africa. Forest elephants, their straight tusked cousins, navigating the shadows of Africa's equatorial woodlands. And the smaller-eared Asian elephants, about a third of which live in captivity. And we're to blame. We've expanded into elephant territory, building homes and roads, felling forests, and planting crops. More cruelly, people have indulged their desire for ivory trinkets that come from a dead elephant's tusk. Although elephants are difficult to count, one estimate suggests that the African continent may have been home to some 26 million elephants at the beginning of the 19th century. That number has since plummeted, becoming dangerously low in the past five decades with the rise of poaching. Now, there are fewer than 415,000 elephants in Africa. In Asia, there may likely be only 50,000 in the wild. Poaching doesn't just destroy animals, says Kahumbu, CEO of the Kenyan Conservation Organization, Wildlife Direct, and a National Geographic Explorer. It undermines society. That's why her organization monitored poaching cases in Kenyan courts, launched a campaign called Hands Off Our Elephants with then-Kenyan First Lady Margaret Kenyatta, and educates children on the value of wildlife. Kahumbu's goal is lofty and urgent, to change the whole national consciousness about conservation. Now, she's taking her message to an international stage with Secrets of the Elephants, a four-part series on National Geographic and Disney+. It explores the hidden lives of elephants in four habitats, Asia, plus African forests, deserts, and savannas, as well as the people who are racing to save the animals. One of these people is ethologist Joyce Poole, a leading expert on African elephant behavior. The National Geographic Explorer compiled five decades' worth of video and audio recordings of elephant communication, from ear-waving to head-butting, into the Elephant Ethnogram, a publicly available digital library of elephant behavior. As scientists learn more about elephants, they're developing more effective ways to protect them. Kahumbu points to elephant crossings that take advantage of the animal's geographic intelligence to negotiate major roads without hurting themselves or threatening nearby communities. She says, we kind of know what they need, but aren't always generous enough. Secrets of the Elephants, she hopes, will familiarize people with the wildlife that lives in their midst. She says, as an African telling the story of Africa's elephants, I hope that it will get more Africans interested in elephants. While making the series, the plight of some elephants shocked her. You look at their faces, they look so sad. They don't look well at all. She particularly noticed this in Asia, where Asian elephants and people live in increasingly close quarters. Despite decades of research into African elephants, much research into Asian elephants has lagged behind, which is why our feature on the following pages will focus on the species. Kahumbu also met people who were determined to save the elephants, and therein lies one of her greatest aspirations, that it amplifies their work, their names, their voices, their achievements, so that we can start pouring support into the places where good work is being done. The Elephant Next Door by Serenath Perer. As we squelch through the wet mud, Nizar Ahmed M.K. suddenly changes motions to crouch low. The surrounding foliage, washed vibrant green by a recent rain, has opened onto a pond where a few young elephants splash about, tumbling over each other. The rest of the herd is about 20 elephants, watching nearby in this coffee plantation in Hassan, a district in southern India. Behind us are the plantation quarters, simple structures with red-tiled roofs, whose residents often cross paths with these multi-ton pachyderms. From 2021 to 2022, elephants killed 12 people in Hassan, population 1.8 million. In the same period, 4 elephants died, among which one was shot, one was electrocuted, and another run over by a train. Most of the 65 or so elephants in the region bear bumps, believed to be from gunshot wounds, Nassar says. It's an uneasy coexistence. That's why Nassar, a field coordinator with the Nature Conservation Foundation, a non-profit based a few hours away in Mysuru, and colleagues operate an early warning system to help people stay out of the elephant's way. When the animals are known to be in an area, signs at road junctions announce their presence. Beacons lights up, and residents receive texts and voice messages on their phones. But as with any exercise involving humans, it's not always that simple. Earlier that day, as Nassar drives his jeep slowly along a dirt road, looking for radio-collared animals' location, he spots a bright huddle of umbrellas and raincoats, people unaware that only a few rows of robusta coffee plants separate them from elephants. He curses and stops to pick up a woman and 3 children in school uniforms. She acknowledges she got a message warning about the nearby elephants. But the kids had to be picked up from school, and she didn't have access to a vehicle. I asked one of the children, 10-year-old girl, if she'd seen the elephants. She looks at me like I'm daft. Just this morning she saw a gathering of 13 outside her house. Does that scare her? It does, she says, but then grins and shrugs as if to say, that's just how things are. Such is the reality in parts of India, Sri Lanka, and Southeast Asia, where elephants and people jostle for space in an increasingly human-dominated landscape. Once these highly social animals ranged across Asia, including China, and as far west as the Euphrates River. Now, an endangered species, Asian elephants hang on in only about 5% of their historic range. Expanding cities and infrastructure have fragmented habitats, and invasive plants that crowd out their usual food sources may pose a further threat. While precise numbers are hard to arrive at, there may be fewer than 50,000 wild Asian elephants left, including 30,000 in India. Researchers and conservationists agree that if the species is to survive, people and elephants need to get along, and there's still a long way to go. From 2020 to 2022, people in Sri Lanka killed more than 1,100 elephants. Nearly 400 people died in elephant encounters. In India, from 2018 to 2020, 300 elephants and 1,400 people died because of human-elephant conflict, a phenomenon that occurs when habitat loss forces both species into close contact, often leading to injuries or death. Living peacefully with such an intelligent and adaptable animal requires a thorough understanding of its social structures. While there exists a long-standing body of knowledge, the Asian elephant has been far less studied by scientists than the African elephant, especially in the wild. So, over the past 2 decades, a dedicated group of researchers have been filling in these gaps, revealing an animal that's different from its African counterpart. One of those people is Primithoth Fernando, who has been studying the species for more than 30 years, particularly in Sri Lanka, where the country's estimated 6,000 elephants share almost 70% of their habitat with humans. Many of the island's large reservoirs release water in the dry season, creating lush grasslands that attract the behemoths. Asian elephants are an edge species, Fernando says. They do very well just outside forest boundaries. It's a sunny, breezy September afternoon in Kaudaula National Park in north-central Sri Lanka, a protected area around the Kadula Reservoir. The water level has receded, leaving a large plain of fresh grass where 23 elephants are busy feeding. Jennifer Pastorini, who runs the nonprofit Center for Conservation and Research with her husband, Fernando, takes copious photographs and videos of the herd. They provide data on body condition, including injuries incurred during run-ins with people or other elephants, and allow for observations about the animals' relationships with each other. Social interactions are challenging to study in Asian elephants. For one thing, it's difficult to consistently observe the animals in forests or scrublands. And when they can be seen together in the same place, Pastorini says they mostly ignore each other. For most of the afternoon in Kaudaula, the elephants are focused on food, ambling around one another in the grassland, tails swaying, ears flapping. Asian elephants spend around 16 hours a day eating grasses, barks, and leaves. This kind of prodigious diet, hundreds of pounds a day, requires a large area, which is why Asian elephants can have a home range of hundreds of square miles. Near dusk, an adult female and a calf begin walking across the grasslands in a more or less straight line toward us. In their path is a cluster of three adult females and two calves. As the pair draws closer to the group, Pastorini says, "Let's see if there's going to be an interaction." There is, as they huddle and reach out to each other with their trunks in what could be a bonding gesture. For a long time, scientists assumed Asian elephants had social structures similar to those of African savanna elephants. This was certainly true on the surface. Both these long-lived species gather in herds of related adult females and calves, with males leaving the group during adolescence when they're 8 to 13 years old. But perhaps the best-known aspect of African savanna elephant society, that the oldest female, the matriarch, is most dominant, does not appear to be the case with Asian elephants. Instead, Asian elephants live in smaller, less hierarchical, and more loosely collected groups that can separate and reunite over time. Smaller groups will also sometimes associate with wider clans involving more distantly related animals. The group composition keeps changing, says Pastorini. Today we see these 20 together, tomorrow 10 of them might be over there and the other 10 over there. It's flexible. Not only that, but Asian elephants, especially young animals, are very flexible, says Nishant Srivanshya, who heads the Frontier Elephant Program in Bengaluru, India. For his PhD, he studied male elephants living on the outskirts of Bengaluru, the capital of Karnataka state. He found large, stable, all-male groups of up to 25 individuals, something never seen before in the area. Male elephants in protected forests are usually observed alone in small groups of three or four, or temporarily attached to a group of females and calves. These young males were sticking together and often seeking the company of experienced older elephants to better navigate a challenging world of highways, fences, railway tracks, and electric wires. Over the past few decades, these bull groups have also adopted what he calls a high-risk, high-gain feeding strategy, chancing potentially deadly interactions with people to feed on crops, a quick food source that boosts their health and physical condition, a bonus when looking for a mate. These crop-raiding males come from the same population as forest-dwelling elephants that spend time alone or in small groups, and are passing these practices on to new generations. He says, what we are witnessing is a cultural evolution. As scientists learn more about Asian elephants, they're discovering an animal that shares many cognitive abilities with people and other apes. In 2005, Joshua Plotnick, who now heads the Comparative Cognition for Conservation Lab at Hunter College in New York City, was part of a team that administered the mirror self-recognition test to Happy, an Asian elephant at the Bronx Zoo. The test determines if an animal knows that it's seeing itself in a mirror and not another animal. Happy past adding Asian elephants to an exclusive list of species including dolphins and chimpanzees. This advanced ability is partly why the U.S. nonprofit Non-Human Rights Project petitioned a New York State trial court to grant Happy personhood and move her from the isolation of the zoo to a sanctuary. The petition worked its way to the state's highest court, the New York Court of Appeals. In 2022, the court ruled against the nonprofit 5-2. Since the mirror test, Plotnick and colleagues have established that captive Asian elephants may recognize when their own body is an obstacle to completing a task. In experiments, the animals will get off a mat and drag it by an attached stick to a researcher, something human children can typically do when they're well into their second year. That ability, combined with the mirror test, points to a keen sense of self-awareness, Plotnick says. Such research has not yet been published on African elephants. Around 10 years ago, Plotnick attended a meeting in Thailand, where he was struck by villagers talking about elephants turning on water faucets or finding ways around fences. This inspired him to extend his work on sensory and cognitive abilities of captive elephants to wild elephants in Thailand. If you're going to develop ways of trying to help elephants and humans coexist, you need to consider both how humans think and the way elephants think, he says. In Thailand's northernmost province, Chiang Rai, at the border of Laos and Myanmar, Plotnick and his team demonstrate their wild elephant research with the help of a captive 31-year-old female elephant named Yatong. She walks up to three steel boxes fastened to a tree. The muggy air is redolent with sweet, heady smell of jackfruit, a chunk of which is in each box. The boxes are a kind of puzzle that tests an elephant's ability to problem solve. Getting to the treats inside requires pushing the door of one of the boxes, sliding aside another, and pulling a chain on the third. Jathong feels about the boxes with her trunk and her mouth. When the push door falls open after a couple of minutes, it looks somewhat accidental. The sliding door takes her 2 more minutes, but the chain pulling proves harder. Jathong seems exasperated, thumping her trunk on the ground and making a sound like a tire bouncing. Her mahout cheers her on, shouting instructions. In about 10 minutes, all three doors keeping her from the jackfruit have been open. When Jathong tries again, she's faster, quickly solving all three puzzles. One of the key factors that determines whether an elephant solves the puzzle boxes is persistence, says Sarah Jacobson, PhD candidate at Plotnick's lab, who's studying innovative problem-solving in wild elephants in Thailand. Jacobson's preliminary results from camera traps placed at Salakpri Wildlife Sanctuary in western Thailand show that over half the wild elephants that approached the puzzle box decided to interact with it. Of those, more than half could solve at least one of the boxes, and about a tenth could solve all three. This shows the variability in the elephant's willingness to try something new, as well as their aptitude for working through a challenge. Over lunch at a roadside cafe, Jacobson reviews footage, including one video in which a male elephant with a wounded ear calmly opens all three boxes almost instantly. But another clip from the same forest shows a male extending his trunk but not quite touching the boxes. His tail goes stiff. His ears flare out. So that's like a high alert behavior, Jacobson says, watching the elephant move away. Indeed, elephants have unique personalities that Plotnick and his team are studying with a view toward decreasing conflict with humans. Some Salakapra elephants routinely emerge from the forest to dig up cassava crops. For instance, if a certain elephant is known to be particularly innovative, say that male with the injured ear, perhaps sounds or flashing lights might discourage him more than a fence. At a large, bright lab at the Indian Institute of Science in Bengaluru, biologist Sanjita Sharma shows me glass vials containing what looks like dry earth. It's actually elephant dung. They may not look like much, but these fecal samples can reveal the amount of stress hormones in an elephant at any given time. Previous research has shown that prolonged stress may cause a host of negative impacts on the health of animals and their ability to reproduce. Wanted to study what is happening within the elephant, says Pocarel. She spent much of her PhD research lurking in bushes near elephants or following them through fields and plantations. This allowed her to collect fresh droppings from two habitats in southern India, protected areas, and Hassan, where elephants live amid human cultivation. She expected that elephants that fed on crops would show a higher levels of stress because of the risk inherent in dealing with people. What she found is surprisingly the opposite. Elephants that fed on crops had lower stress levels than did the protected forest-dwelling elephants. Analysis of their dung showed that a diet of crops was richer in protein. Perhaps Pocarel hypothesizes a better quality crop diet outweighs its risks, and as her study says, acts as a pacifier against stress. In 2022, she and Nachiketa Sharma, both currently postdoctoral fellows at Japan's Kyoto University, published research that studied how Asian elephants behave around dead and dying elephants. They analyzed videos of adult females, presumably mothers, carrying around calf carcasses, something they never do with living calves. And elephants gathered next to a carcass, touching each other with their trunks in what looked like a lot of reassurance. Parkal and Sharma feel that elephants do experience grief, but more evidence is needed to say so with scientific rigor. They changed the illustrations of elephants in their paper after one of the reviewers raised the concern they might have human-like expressions. Sharma says, "A little anthropomorphism may not be a bad thing if it helps people care for elephants." People and elephants in Asia have a long intertwined history. Seals from the Harappa civilization over 4,000 years old depict tamed elephants. From the advent of kingdoms and republics in India in the first millennium BC, the elephant became prominent as an animal of war, used as a fighting platform and to charge enemy ranks. It remained so until a few hundred years ago, says Raman Sukumar, National Science Chair and Honorary Professor of the Indian Institute of Science. After they stopped being used for war, the animals remained mainstays for activities such as transporting goods and logging. Sukumar speculates that there wasn't commensurate captivity of African elephants, in part because North Africa, where early kingdoms rose, did not have the elephant population required to sustain equivalent long-term use in war. The elephant's role in religion has also rooted it squarely in Asian societies. Buddhists believe the Buddha was once incarnated as a six-tusked white elephant, and Hindus worship an elephant-headed deity named Ganesha. Many temples in southern India, Sri Lanka, and parts of Southeast Asia own elephants. At the Dasara festival, a dozen decorated elephants parade down the streets of Mysuru, with one of them carrying an idol of the Hindu deity Shamaneswari. At the festival Vesakala Parahira in Kandy, Sri Lanka, around 100 elephants covered in robes, ornaments, and even electric lights, accompany a replica of a golden casket containing a sacred tooth relic of the Buddha. But such events can be traumatic and stressful for the animals. Many have been abused for years. When not forced to perform, the elephants are often kept chained in small spaces. Reverence can quickly turn sour when livelihoods and property are at stake. Confrontational methods for deterring wild elephants, such as using firecrackers or guns, simply do not work, Fernando says. They can both harm elephants and make them more aggressive. The only thing that works is the electric fence. He says, coexistence does not mean you have an elephant in your garden. It's more of a fine-scale separation. That's why his organization advocates the careful planned use of two kinds of solar-powered electric fences, the village fence and the seasonal fence, both of which are equipped with pulsed current that jolts an elephant without injuring it. A village fence encloses a human settlement, keeping elephants out of homes and gardens. A seasonal fence is temporary, erected only when a crop needs protection from elephants, leaving the area free for use by elephants at other times. The Center of Conservation and Research provides the materials and guidance for putting up the fences and expects villagers to supply labor and contribute to maintaining them. That way, Fernando says, people feel ownership of the fences. Yet in an arms race of sorts, the animals are constantly testing their boundaries, using their trunks to investigate electrified wires, or pushing trees onto fences, and then stepping between the fallen wires. Fernando realized that fences need to be erected close to people so that elephants are too wary to experiment with disabling them. Fernando recently traveled to the village of Sharshrugama in southern Sri Lanka to inspect the hanging fence his organization had helped install around the village perimeter. Relatively advanced, it consists of a loose curtain of wires that hang vertically from a crosswire 13 feet high, making it difficult for elephants to bring it down. A neighboring village initially refused the fence, believing it was ineffective. But now, having seen it work, those villagers have asked for one too. What's the future for the Asian elephant? Sukumar believes that a mix of climatic and human-made factors will force the species into more isolated pockets. In the long term, he says, this could lead to elephants becoming smaller, a phenomenon that has already occurred in the elephant population in Borneo, which are 30% smaller than their relatives. For the time being, people's reverence for elephants somewhat moderates the tension between the two. Even where there's a lack of physical space, there's an enormous cultural space, he says. I think of this near Matala, in southern Sri Lanka, when a herd of about 30 elephants crosses a highway. First, the elephants bide their time in the shrubs until there's a lull in the traffic. Then the few vehicles on the road wait as the elephants deftly stepped over the barricades, the smallest in the herd struggling to keep up. They've reached the other side and resumed feeding when a passing car stops. Window rolls down and a little boy thrusts his head out, his face lit up with awe and delight. He shouts out the Sinhali word for elephants. Ali-yo! Well, you've been listening to the National Geographic Society here on Owl Radio. Now, you can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio, or you can listen by streaming on your computer or smartphone. Listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Well, thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. Until next time, this is Jim Cruz saying goodbye from Owl Radio.